Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Fred. I am responsible. I am accountable. I am capable of assisting people to find their true voice and then deliver it effectively into the world around us. With 40 years in mental health, 32 of them as a psychiatrist, and then a massive amount of conversations, including podcasting and expert speaking, keynote speaking, I have the opportunity to really see the magic that it takes to find one's authentic self and then deliver it effectively into the world. And if you're like me, you can see that now more than ever, that's what's called for. So today is that day. Now is that time. Come forth.
Come forth, bro.
Join me in the broadcast. You'll see on the other side of this at True Voice with Dr. Fred. Did they cut out come forth?
Yeah, I think so. But you've come forth anyway.
Yeah,
how you doing, man?
Come forth, Dura, bro.
Yeah, I didn't hear it, but maybe it's there. Maybe it's buried in there.
No, maybe no. You don't have to fix it. It's. I probably got censored out.
TJ thinks it was still there. How you doing, Mossy? What's going on,
dude? It's been a great day. You know, been driving around. We just made it here. A minute late, but
where you been?
We went down to Sacramento. You know, we had a chiropractor appointment. Then I picked up one of these new electrical foam rollers that apparently they're called Vipers. And my trainer told me that I should get one of those, so I found one for a pretty heavy discount. Then we had some boba. We went to the art store, and I think we did something else too. Anyways. You know, just kind of driving around town, trying getting it together.
Nice. Did you discover your true voice on your way?
I did, actually. So I don't really have that much to talk about.
No. Yeah.
Once
yeah.
you get it, you can't, you got to, it's sort of like you got to keep it in the sheath.
Yeah. 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 Tell me more. Tell me more about this.
Well, once you use your true voice, it's no longer your true voice. It's like once I actually choose to say what it is I want to say. Then I have essentially canceled out the things that I could have said instead of what I said.
Now, do you suppose one's life is pretty much just catching up with all the bullshit that you think you should have said that you didn't say? Or how's that all play out?
So the question is that once you start talking, you get a backlog of things that you could have or should have said, but you didn't say because you said what you said. And now you're wondering whether the rest of life is actually meant to go catch up with the backlog that continues to grow every time you say anything new.
The rest is just catching up with all the stuff that exactly. It's all just the backlog that we've got to save for the rest of our lives after that.
And then each time we talk, we actually increase increase the shit on the back end of the backlog.
Exactly. Which is directly responsible for the universe expanding.
Okay, I was with you up until that point, because I didn't take acid this afternoon.
More in the backlog that we have yet to express because we've backlogged, then we can only do that by expanding more time and space to be able to express the bullshit that hasn't been expressed yet.
Well, one of the ways to do this might be to just, it would take something, but we'd have to find a way to just immediately disregard all things that we think we need to say. Just empty the trash.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because a lot of the time I find that the true voice that really wants to come out with me isn't a voice at all. It's just like, hey, shut the fuck up, dude. There's nothing to add to this moment that hasn't already been said in some way, shape, or form already. So just kind of shut up. Be quiet. Just kind of be here.
Yeah, I like that. And that goes a little bit to this remarkable conversation that you started yesterday morning on the back end of an all night experience that we had, which it would be this idea of what'd you call it? Empowered equanimity.
Yeah.
So talk to the crowd about, I think thousands, they're filing in. They're filing in, Sam. There's standing room only out there right now.
I can feel them.
And so they got the docent headphones on. The SROs get the headphones because they can't actually see because there's people in the way between them and the TV. So they were just wearing the headphones. So when you speak, you're going to have to speak to simply imagine the group that's actually wanting to watch us but can't see us, but they got the headphones on anyway, so they get the experience.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's the one I want you to speak to. We don't want to leave them out just because they came a little late.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So empowered equanimity, that's the topic you want me to speak on?
Yeah, roll on.
So the definition of equanimity is essentially a calm, still mindset, being in a frame of mind where, you know, things could be chaotic around you. Things could be going, you know, things could be the circumstances around your life happening in your life could indicate that certainly there's at least a possibility that you're thrown off emotionally, or that you are at the very least aggravated or irritated or something. But rather than react in such a way, you have a sense of presence and sort of unfuckwithableness, where you're essentially kind of the eye in the middle of the storm, the eye of the hurricane. And it's not that you are being totally passive and not caring, but you are just kind of maintaining your cool. Equanimity is basically a fancy way of saying maintaining your cool. And so empowered equanimity would be maintaining your cool in such a way that you're actually able to make empowered decisions and think in an empowered way while maintaining your cool.
Yeah.
Which, so you know, on any given day, we kind of go in and out of that kind of thing.
So it seems to me that there's like two sides of this equanimity thing. I've actually had the opportunity, unlike our audience who are being blown away by this concept as they listen, like, you know, taking notes and shit, they're already changing pens because they ran out of ink like this. Unlike them, I've actually had 2 days to contemplate. That's contemplate. Pretty sure that's the only definition of that word, come to think of it. I don't think I had to spell it. I've had the opportunity to look at this equanimity thing. And, you know, there's the group that we were speaking with. Some of them were really thrilled that they were had the moments of time where they acted like they were in equanimity, you know, equanimitous.
Equanimous. I don't even know what it is.
Maybe TJ could look that up. But we don't want TJ to take his hands off the dials just in case we say shit that he has to like unfold, you know, like
right.
We're looking for the, when one is in equanimity, what are they? Equanimitous. He'll be honest. he'll go get this.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the thing. I think there's the group that acts like they're in equanimity by like holding their breath and pretending not to be excited or depressed or angry. Mm. You know, they just like hang. They just like hang. But inside they're thinking, what a fuck up. Or I hate this thing.
Equanimous. TJ's got it.
TJ. Right. Woo! We don't give enough credit to TJ. And I mean, for the thousands of people here, the reason you like this show has very little to do with, you know, with the Warrior or the Wizard or Sam Morris or myself. Not at all. This show really revolves around our background, you know, our backdrop dude, and that's TJ. He's running this show. So all, you know, let's woo.
They must pay him a lot to tolerate us every week.
Yeah, that's right. I know. He comes here just to listen to us, I guess. Whatever, man. TJ, get a freaking life, dude.
Yeah.
There's got to be something better to do. You got goldfish or something to look at? Shit, man.
Oh, boy. He's going to need therapy.
He's going to need therapy after this. What?
He's going to need therapy after this.
Yeah. You got the guys who are trying to be equanimous so that someday someone will ask them how good they, you know, like an ego-driven fake equanimity, like pseudo-equanimous.
Sure.
Pseudo-equanimous.
Yeah.
Pseudo.
Okay.
It's possible that Q is a K. So it's pseudo-econ. Not it.
Pseudo-economist?
It's equanimous. Equanimous. It's possible that it's that these people, they're like holding their breath thinking, yeah, if I'd be a good person right here, then I might be able to pick up a chick, or I might be able to, like, you know, tell my dad and get praise, or I might be able to tell my friends when I'm asked the last cool thing I did, you know, like, oh, I got one, like that. But I'm thinking that being equanimous is sort of like being an anonymous. An anonymous equanimous. I think that's what we're talking about here. Anonymous equanimous, which is one who doesn't pat their own back when their equanimity shows up.
They become
they become like, you know, there's a group out there, Equanimous Anonymous. They're it's a support group.
For those who have pretended to be equanimous. I think you're onto something. I mean, I think only we can know really whether or not we are in a state of equanimity at any given time, you know, because only we can really experience our worlds from the inside out and know just how much is actually happening at the level of thought and feeling that isn't really revealed on the outside. So I see a state of equanimity as being essentially, you know, a feeling of being dropped in. You know, we use that term dropped in, connected, and not really particularly phased about the activity going on in our environment or internally as well. It's a highly functional state, you know, with Zen warrior training. That's primarily what I'm trying to help people to establish.
The presses. Let's go off in Sam's world here. It's Sam. Tell us a little bit about what Zen warrior work really is. And TJ, if you can hit the extra heavy record button on this one, we're going to pull out this sizzle reel.
The double record.
That's double record. You got it. Thanks.
Double record. Yeah. Well, Zen warrior training is exactly that. I am training my clients to become Zen warriors in their lives, to develop that state of peaceful presence as they are encountering the challenges that inevitably come up in life, to be present to those challenges and present to reality in such a way where they don't really trip up on things. It's like, don't trip, dude. It's not that big a deal. You're okay. You are fine. In fact, that is the place to be. That is your safe place, is right here, right now, in this moment. Getting that everything else is a fictitious aspect of your imagination. Everything that is logged in the memory and every concern that is wheeling around inside of our heads is just a fictitious aspect of our imagination that is emerging out of this present moment. The more you can connect into this present moment and just be dropped in to this state of equanimity, empowered equanimity, the more functional and fulfilled you can be, the more of a sense of joy, fulfillment, prosperity, etc. Because really, we are looking for I believe most people are really looking for a richer experience of life when it really comes down to it. We all want basically the same thing, which is a richer experience of life, more freedom, more of a sense of love connection, empowerment, and all of that is an internal experience. There is nothing about any of those things that comes from more money or more status or more anything. It's actually an internal state that one must cultivate. Well, sometimes the sex can lead to the inverse of that. Sometimes more sex can actually lead to the inverse of more fulfillment, actually.
What about inverse sex?
Inverse sex? Yeah. Well, hey, that's talk about that. Is that something that you experience a lot? Inverse sex? Yeah. Tell me about your inverse sex, right? I want to hear about this. Inverted? I think of it, yeah. Inverted sex. I want to hear your take on this. hanging from your feet upside down.
Yeah, well, it can be upside down. It can be inside out.
Upside down, inside out.
Wrong side in.
Mm-hmm.
It can be, basically the opposite of outverted sex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that, Sam. I don't know.
I'm all ears, man. I'm always looking for more ways to explore sex. Inverted sex.
Well, I think if you're all ears, I have some ideas for you about the sex thing. But we could talk about that, really.
It is that unexplored orifice that doesn't tend to get a lot of attention.
One of the things I've noticed, Sam, is that I wear a hearing aid, and if I put my hands near my ears, they have feedback,
Mm-hmm.
If I keep my hearing aids on when I'm
inverted,
sometimes the inner thighs cause the feedback. So what I'm trying to tell our audience, and I don't mean to be rude about this.
I've never heard of anything like this before. So you're having this kind of this cunnilingus echo chamber. Is that what you're describing?
Sort of what I'm saying. I'm saying there's no what I'm saying is, yeah, the cunnilingus feedback that can happen. You should never wear hearing aids when you're performing cunnilingus. That's just awesome.
Thank you for letting me know. I appreciate that. I've never had
there
to wear
a little hearing aids. There should be a little
warning.
Now,
if I do ever have to wear hearing aids, I will remember to take them out when I am performing cunnilingus. Thank you for that. Cunnilingus echo chamber. That sounds like Pink Floyd's album that they never made.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I got my wife over there. She's about 15 feet away and she's pretending not to listen, but she actually, more than anyone, really understands that this is a real deal.
Yeah.
It's a real deal. Yeah. It's something that not many people really pay attention to, but there should be a little, how cigarettes on the bottom of cigarettes, they say like caution, cigarette smoking can cause cancer and shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can blow out your eardrums if you're wearing hearing aids performing cunnilingus. And most people don't know that.
God damn.
And it's sort of like touching a stove, Daryl. You're not going to know it until you do it one time. And then you'd be like, whoa.
There should be warning labels on those things. I mean, there's warnings on pizza boxes to not actually eat the box, to take the pizza out of the box before you eat the pizza. So you would think that if there's warning labels on pizza boxes to not eat the box, then there would be warning labels on hearing aids to not use them while performing cunnilingus.
No one's coming to help us here, Sam, at all. There's no one.
This is what you get when you get over a little bit too much equanimity, is you get this type of conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more. What I think TJ's got it right. We need more warning labels.
That is absolutely the moral of the story. We need more warning labels. Absolutely.
The other kind of equanimity, which I want to tell you about, another form of pseudo equanimity, and this is the kind that most people actually enter EA for. EA, you know what EA. Equanimous Anonymous. Equanimous Anonymous.
Yeah.
Are those people who are not, like, they're not trying to do it for an ego-based reason, like the ones we just talked about. Oh, I got an equanimous for my history I want to share so that I can get laid or I can get, like, you know, accolades or whatever. Or not that group. That group, because that group isn't aware enough to know that they need EA.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to be mandated by any jurisdiction either. It's not like someone's going to drag them into EA by their collar or something.
Mm-hmm.
If someone did drag them in, you know what they do? They would call themselves equanimous. If they did it, they'd be like, guess what I did that was equanimous? I put out a pseudo-equanimous dude who was acting equanimous in order to be noticed.
Wow.
That's not the group we're talking about. The group we're talking about is the burnt out group.
Oh, yeah.
The groups who's sitting there like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm good.
Right.
And really, the reason they're looking at equanimous is they're actually equi-clueless.
Equi-clueless. Yes. Checked out.
Right.
You know, I had an interesting conversation with my mentor, Satya Raja.
Yeah.
About this,
kind of
related to this topic, where I was expressing a lot of frustration, and he was in agreement that this frustration is well founded with the way in which so many people who become quote unquote spiritually awakened seem to basically check out from society. You know, it's kind of the classic Timothy Leary turn on, tune in, drop out type of mentality.
Yeah, you used that word, tune in. You used it a little bit, or this side. What was the word you used earlier? Well, I think it was tune in, but it's a different word.
Dropping in.
That was a clear.
Well, dropped in, I think, is, yeah. Anyway, well, we could discuss the maybe.
Go ahead. I just wanted to.
But yeah, tuning in, getting.
I wanted
there's something very, very valid about the spiritual awakening process, that where one recognizes that the quote unquote matrix of culture is not in and of itself something that is meant to be experienced purely at face value. That there's essentially a subconscious program running most actions and behaviors within our culture, and that part of becoming spiritually awakened is recognizing, waking up to that fact that there are unconscious programs that are shared amongst people within the culture that one must be aware are happening, and that you, if you choose to participate in them, it is of your own conscious choice. Once you have that spiritual awakening, you forever cannot go back into participating within that matrix without recognizing that you are consciously choosing to.
Right.
And those who experience a spiritual awakening frequently end up forming their own sort of subculture or tribe. You know, look at Burning Man, yoga, meditation,
Abercrombie and Fitch,
whatever. This is, I mean, it's particularly prominent out here in California.
Birkenstocks, man.
Birkenstocks. and creating this kind of subculture. Which is fine. You know, we all gravitate towards like-minded people. And if we can have a feeling that there's a sense of familial connection amongst our quote-unquote tribe, then there's something of value to that. The problem is, I think a lot of people gravitate towards that tribe and they never do much from that place. Right. They kind of, it's just like their comfort zone. They find a new comfort zone in this kind of turning their backs against the world, fuck you. This is all just bullshit. I don't want to be fed a bunch of commercials, you know, stuff about how I need to be. And I'm not part of that program anymore. You all can go fuck yourselves. And I'm now turning my back to it. Exactly. However, that has its own dysfunctional aspects to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you really want to see the world become a different place, then it actually requires a level of engagement with that which you dislike, that which makes you uncomfortable. And I speak from personal experience because it wasn't that long ago, just a little over 10 years ago, when I was ready to just live in a cabin in the woods in the middle of nowhere and basically watch the whole thing burn down all around me and go, you know what, I'm not going to be part of the rat race.
Yeah.
You all can just kind of do your thing. And I realized that wherever you think that you're going, I feel like I'm already there. I found the freedom that most people are seeking, and I have no interest in being a part of it. And that was, for me, my own form of disingenuous equanimity, because the genuine part would actually go, you know what? On some level, I actually signed up for this. I didn't sign up just to check out, just to be the sort of lofty idealist living in the mountains. If I'm turned on to something, if I've become more self-aware, then actually, for me personally, on a soul level, that actually comes with a certain amount of responsibility to engage with the world, not to just check out from the world.
Interesting.
And I find it frustrating to see as many people waking up to their true nature, to their true voice. Look at that. I just threw in a little plug there.
Yeah, thank you for the
waking up to their true voice and then disengaging versus engaging more. Because I think that the world needs more people who are awake and engaged versus awake and disengaged.
Yeah.
And I think if those who wake up and become more self-aware and sort of see themselves as independent of this cultural matrix, if they still were to engage just as much with humility, you know, I just personally feel like that's what's more needed in the world than just disengaging and being like, you know what, fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love what you're saying. I'm going to put something in the chat here in a moment. Here we go. And this will, TJ, be ready to drop us into a commercial here in a moment. Let's see. Sam, what we're going to do here.
I didn't mean to actually discuss something actually serious there.
I know. No, you did fine. You did fine.
Yeah.
This is a 12-step. This is a EA 12-step, actually, you pointed to. And not, well, the thing I first want to point out is not A is just as A is. Like, not X is just as X is. So when you're like, I am not going to be conventional. That's who I'm going to be. I'm going to be someone who's not conventional. I'm not going to do the, you know, the beaten trail. I'm always going to do the road less traveled all the time. All the time I'm going to do the road less traveled. Well, all of a sudden you've hemmed yourself into an identity that's just as hemmed in as the identity that you were pretending to no longer be. And even though you got the tap of truth that there was a spiritual awakening at one point that moved you off center with the conventional way of being, if you find your own tribe, become complacent with that tribe and then move on from there, all you really are moving on from another just like embedded tribe of nonsense, pretending that that's the real tribe, when what you learned during your awakening theoretically was that there's no such thing as a real tribe, and your responsibility becomes to move on, to continue to move on, learning and knowing that what you think you knew, you didn't, and always being aware of that. And one could say that our friendship is sort of based on making sure either of us continue to do that, and that we don't get, you know, what some people say, we don't get retarded about certain ways of being.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and even we might say that we're the group that doesn't get retarded. And if we say we are the group that doesn't get retarded, if that's what we call our identity, well, we've fallen into that same trap.
Exactly. It just becomes a new form that the ego can attach itself to. And there's a new conventional that that we try to create. And what I think what we are trying to do is escape convention versus create a new form of convention. And that's a tricky line to walk. I think that's why it's so important to have other people in your life who can reflect to you where you are getting retarded about your own way of thinking, and you are sort of establishing a new conventional versus being truly unique and being inclusive of all ways of thinking. I think one of the most important things that I try to do, and I don't do enough of it, is to listen to opinions that are outside of my own value structure that would challenge my own values and beliefs and biases. And I don't do enough of that, honestly. I think it's important to do more of.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So we're almost there. I want to show you something I found on the internet. You know, you can believe the internet in most situations. You understand. I mean, most of the time.
You found it on the internet? Wow. Damn.
A lot of people don't really believe what they read on the internet.
I've heard about the internet. I've heard it's just a hotbed of truth.
Well, some people are under the conspiracy theory that the internet isn't telling the truth.
Mm.
It's crazy, dude. It's crazy. So, I think we're here. Let me show you. And then after this, yeah, TJ, we're going to need a break. And not only are we going to take a break, but we're going to need it. We might even need a couple minutes instead of one. So, but we'll get back to you on that. Here's what it is, Sam. Let's see if I can find this. Oh, yeah, here it is. Check it out, man. This was on the internet.
Equanimity Anonymous, step 12. Having had a spiritual waking as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other equons, pseudo equons, and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Exactly.
Nice.
So that's step 12. That's the whole point. I think that's what you're pointing to here.
That is brilliant.
And what I'd like to do is ask you and me and our entire audience, just take a minute. Like during this commercial, you've already heard the commercial. The thousands of you have been hanging with us the whole time. You've heard this commercial a number of times. You don't have to listen to it again. And if you don't want to listen to it again, I just want you to contemplate the power. This is why they call it the 12 steps. Because on the 12 steps, once you've arrived here, there's nowhere else to go. This is your new tribe being formed right there. And I want you to get, you know, spiritual awakening of equanimous.
Equanimous Anonymous.
Anonymous. All right. I think we got that now.
What happens if you take the 13th step? Let's discuss that when we get back from your commercial.
Let's talk about the 13th step when we're on the other side of this. I think it's a great plan. TJ, roll us out of here because it's getting ugly down here, man. Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Fred again. I wanted to explain to you a little bit about one of the names I have called the Undoctor. What is the Undoctor? Well, after about 15 years in the field, of me being misaligned with what I was doing, because I was medicating people even knowing that medications were not the right answer. And I was diagnosing people even though I didn't always believe that they had the diagnosis that I said that they had, even though they did meet the criteria, etc. I like seeing humans for exactly who they are and who they're not, and not as a diagnosis. So in 2006, I began the process of becoming the undoctor. I unmedicated, undiagnosed, and then undoctrinated a bunch of people. Like, people no longer had to come to a psychiatrist because their conditions cleared. This isn't true for everyone. It may not be true for you, but for some folks who know that their diagnosis doesn't fit and who know that they don't want to keep going through with medications and don't want to be seen as someone who's defective or afflicted, this turned out to be a great intervention. Over time, I stopped doing that, and I no longer do a whole lot of conventional psychiatry. Now I just help people walk through their life and find their true voice. I connect with people straight up, not as if there's a power gradient between a doctor and a patient, but as two humans connecting and resonating with each other. As it turns out, that's where all healing emanates from. So today, I've developed the Welcome to Humanity brand over the last 6 or 7 years, and that really takes into consideration all of this. It is self-explanatory. Basically, each and every experience that we have with humanity is just as exquisite as another, even if it's deeply uncomfortable. From there, we get to actually share these human experiences. From there, we get to resonate and connect, and from there, healing takes place. I also have been helping people with their true voice, and that's why you're here today at True Voice with Dr. Frey. I help people find that true voice, really their authentic self, their core value system, and then deliver it effectively into a world that is eagerly awaiting to hear you. Without your voice, no one will ever hear you. And without your true voice, no one will ever know you. But with your true voice, you can find healing, peace, and love. True voice is what it takes to end all wars. So, welcome to True Voice with Dr. Fred. We're back. Yeah.
Yeah,
I shotgunned two beers while we were gone, bro.
Good for you. Good for you. All right. Yeah. So, you know, something you mentioned in that break there is that as the undoctor, you eschew condescension towards your patients. You don't have that power gradient relationship. Right. Now, what a horrible thing. I mean, that's the one reason why to become a doctor, so you can talk down to your patients. So what the hell? What are you just going to just have real conversations with them? What's that bullshit all about?
It was an effort to become pseudo-equanimous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was an effort to have people look at me and go, he's cool. He's cool.
He's got all the answers.
Got the answers. Look, he takes out the power gradient thing and still rolls as an MD. So No, it's for accolades and acceptance. It's to be admired.
It's kind of like when you rock the stethoscope. I've always loved that.
Same version.
You know, it's funny. I've seen a fair share more doctors.
You have
than your average Joe. I've seen a whole lot of doctors, and I have always. I mean, we're talking about the MD variety here because I've spent a hell of a lot of time in hospitals.
Yeah, you have.
And it is laughably funny the way in which so many doctors show up with their stethoscope around them, and they have a certain way of moving through the room, a certain sort of learned authority that they use as they walk through the room, this sort of gravitas. But the gravitas... to me looks like a foolish kind of caricature of who they believe themselves to be.
Right.
And then they inevitably talk to you and use as few sentences as they possibly can to try to share that they have some kind of interest in you, which is clearly an act. And they say, and then before I go, I want to listen to your lungs and your heart. And that is the thing that they can then charge your insurance company like $3,000 to do, is they take the stethoscope and they put the stethoscope on and they listen to your lungs and your heart, even if what you're there for has zero to do with your lungs and your heart. They inevitably throw in that little thing so that they can charge your insurance company $3,000 for the 10, for the, no, not even 10, 2 minute visit into your hospital room. It is so funny.
Yeah, I had me a Lippmann. I had me a Lippmann, a stethoscope. I had at one point I had a I didn't have the highest power one, but I had, you know, the one that was a couple hundred bucks, and I wore it like a, you know, like a Jerry Garcia necktie. And you know, the thing about listening to lungs, that's the other thing, man. So there's like different things you listen for, wheezes and crepitus and, you know, like effusions. You look for, you know, like different spots and shit that you're supposed to comment on.
Yeah.
There's nothing uniform about any of that. You could have somebody listen and then have the next person listen and hear entirely different things. And therefore your chart would actually be speckled with an entirely different exam. Same thing with your heart. Now the heart is even worse. And I just got to tell you, there was this one moment when I was in internal medicine with like, maybe I had 3 hours sleep in the last 72 hours or something. It was some morning where I had to give a presentation about someone at the VA about someone's cardiac status. And I, you know, I never believe anybody who's, there's six levels of heart murmur. There's like 1 out of 6, 2 out of 6, 3 out of 6. And 1 out of 6 is a murmur that you can't hear. That's by definition. It's a murmur that can't be heard. See, this is when I started to question medicine. Right. It around that time, I'm like, dude, you actually want me to listen to a murmur that can't be heard and then call it a murmur? Like, how am I going to, what's the difference between a murmur that can't be heard and no murmur? So I had questions right there. And with the 2 out of 6, you can have, there's certain adjectives you can put in too. Shit, I wish I could remember them, but they kind of like, they're complete nonsense, complete total nonsense. But for the doctors who are on their way to being cardiologists, you know, for these kids who are actually press their white coat every night and then, you know, drop the Lippmann around their neck in a particular way, those people also tend to have an otoscope in their pocket for listening, popping on for the ear look and for the, you know, tucking up your nose and all that shit. And the eyes, like they're rocking that too. And then they have what, you know, a book or two in their pocket so they can look up antibiotic equivalents and shit. And, you know, and this group, that group, the more advanced you are, you can actually, when you get to be like a junior or senior, you know, one of those kind of clone, I mean, doctors, when you get to be like one of them, you get your name like embroidered into your white coat.
Oh yeah. That's next level.
That is fucking cool, man. When you have worked at a place long enough that the staff is willing to drop an embroidered name on the pocket of your coat.
Yeah. That's serious.
Arrival, my friend. That's arrival.
That's serious. That's got to cost $20 to do that.
At least $20, and you know, and it's something you can wear with pride.
Mm-hmm,
you know, you can wear that thing with pride, and that comes with a whole uniform thing. Like, you know, if you want to really be badass about it, you keep your scrubs on the next day, as if you had no time to change into fucking pants.
Right. As though you've been doing surgeries all night, and you're about to do them for the next 24 hours.
Exactly.
Too.
And if you have a little thing, like a little stain, maybe from the cherry cobbler that you actually had at 1 in the morning, if you can drop that onto your pants,
that's next level too, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like a little drip of some sort, you know, some sort of unrecognizable liquid stain of some sort. It's so good. It's so good, dude.
Hey, I've got an idea. Hey, I've got a thought. Did you ever, as a psychiatrist, practice out crazying your patients by like taking your stethoscope and going and putting it up against their skull or something like that, and while drool is hanging out of your mouth, just so that they can have this relationship with the psychiatrist and see the guy who actually out crazies them, and would that be an effective healing modality in your mind?
It's a really great question. There's a super cool story, which I invite you, maybe TJ can line it up. I'll line it up because I have something to show you still from the shared screen, but I'll line up the story. My friend, Pesach Lichtenberg, my Hebrew name is Pesach too, but Pesach is a guy who's within the same year as me age-wise, and he looks a ton like me. And we met in Jerusalem, and he has a really famous story that circulated all through Israel about becoming a chicken. He became a chicken in front of this this dude who thought he was like a chicken. So Pesach went in there and started playing chicken games.
What happens when you don't go to Equanimous Anonymous?
Well, you need to go there. Look, if anyone out there is wondering, I wonder if I qualify for EA. That's already far enough along that you need to just step. Just it doesn't hurt. You know, you could just go with hello, my name is Fred. I'm Equanimous. Hello, my name is Fred.
Okay, so homeboy turned into a chicken.
Oh, yeah. So he did that, and then it cured his chicken, psychotic chicken friend. It's a beautiful story, actually. It's a super cool story. In the meantime, though, I want to show you something. Gosh, we're giving our audience so much to think about today. They got to be on their toes today. This isn't an average podcast that they're listening to today.
That's for sure.
Those folks who have the headphones on, sitting in the back taking notes. So they got blisters on their fifth finger there for sure.
There are some who are listening to this while they have a stethoscope in their ears and they're holding the stethoscope up to their skulls as well. I am sure that that's actually happening. What is the 13th step in Equanimous Anonymous recovery? Okay. Can you speak to this, Fred?
Yeah. Equanimous Anonymous, despite its good intentions, is far from perfect. It's made up of a diverse group of people trying to recover. We know that, right? With diversity comes the possibility of exploitation, and that's what they call 13th stepping. The 13th step is an unwelcome and unofficial part of the 12-step program. And how do you know that? If you can't remember, it's because 13 is after 12. It's after 12.
Got it.
Like 12 steps includes the numbers before 12.
Yeah. So if you've taken step 13, you've gone too far.
It's like missing the exit.
Uh-huh.
Right? So, This is the definition of EA step 13. It's when an EA veteran, and there are plenty of those for sure, the lifers, you know, the what do they call them? Like the, I'll come up with the name in a minute, but it's when they make sexual advances on a new EA member.
Especially in an uninverted sexual advancement.
Yeah, an uninverted. That's true. This is what we're talking about. This is where it all ties in together.
Wow. Thank you for pointing that out. Now I'm clear. Yeah. Do not 13th step as an Equanimous Anonymous member.
Yeah.
Beware. Yeah. You will step over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be really careful about this. And so just be, it's sort of like when one of the older dudes offers you candy, you know, at the side of the road, like walks out of their van with no windows.
Yeah.
And offers you candy. Don't go.
Oh, yeah.
Don't go for that.
Whoa. Okay. That's what we're talking about here, huh?
Right. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Now this is serious. Okay.
Now that part of that is serious. I mean, again, I think some people we're not giving doctors advice here. You know, I hope you all know that. Like, I don't want, if you go to an EA meeting, I have nothing to do with what happens to you either before, during, or after you go into that meeting.
And if you go to let's just put it this way. If you go to Equanimous Anonymous, beware of the unmarked vans out in the parking lot.
Exactly.
With no windows in them.
No windows and a bag of candy. Yeah. So you really want to be careful about people who are pseudo-equanimous. It's a dangerous population. It's not, a lot of them are running some of the countries in the world.
Yeah.
These are leaders. These are leaders. Some of us
dangerous folk.
Yep, exactly. Now, where were you before you said you wanted to take that on? I forgot. What was that last thing you said?
Oh, I have no idea.
So, well, let's do this then. Let's shift gears a little bit. I'm sure we'll be able to come back. We only have about 7 minutes. Tell us a little bit about your experience last week with Sachin. And go. Let's you can get real here.
Yeah. Well, okay, I will. So Satyan Raja is currently in the position of mentorship with me. I, as part of my commitment to myself, there's a commitment as a coach and as a mentor for myself to always be evolving and learning new things, learning new skills, because I think those who aren't really practicing what they preach. And I want to always get better at what I do, not only so that I can help my clients more, but also because it's interesting. Who wants to stay where they are? Who wants to remain at their existing skill level? And so I chose Satyan Raja because his approach to coaching is most resonant with my own coaching style, I should say. And he coaches in such a way where he is coupling the type of mentorship that leads to excellence in business and in personal life, along with principles and philosophies of Taoism and of Zen and of shamanism and of yoga, all these deep wisdom traditions, which I'm very much drawn to. Mm-hmm. And we spent a week out in Hawaii together. And there was a group of 16 of us, of which I was part. And we practiced drills. And we also spent a lot of time just hanging out and enjoying the beautiful weather of Hawaii. It was a really great experience. Satyan's a very real individual. His background is in the martial arts and yoga and self-actualization through Kensho experiences of Zen. Kensho means practices which actually allow you to have an illuminated experience of yourself and the truth of reality, the deeper truth, not the relative truth that we all create in terms of comparison of one truth versus another, but the actual truth that lies beneath our own projections of our imagination. And so those types of practices are really, I'm really into that kind of thing. This is mm-hmm. how I've always oriented. My initial interest in Zen, I would say, really came from experiences of flow state. As a snowboarder years ago, as a teenager, I would experience flow state. And I would wonder, I would think, this is the most incredible way of being. And why aren't we experiencing this more? And when I say flow state, I'm talking about the state in which you have an experience of merging with your surroundings, mm-hmm. where your mind and your surroundings and everything become one experience. Mm-hmm. And so I've always been interested in traditions which help to cultivate that type of awareness. And and Satyan's deeply immersed in this type of work
himself. How can you, in the next couple minutes before we sign off, how can you let your this growing listenership, how can you let them know how you can avoid becoming pseudo-equanimous in this group? In other words, falling into this group and having that be the new identity that you now call your own, and maybe give up, become complacent on the spiritual awakening that you're sort of referring to may have taken place somehow last week. How can you?
Yeah, I would say challenge your mind always.
There you go. TJ, put that in the chat, man. Yeah, people who forgot what he just said need to hear that again. That's a good, that's a freaking bumper sticker level. That's way out there, Sam. Try saying it again. You're pretty proud of yourself, aren't you? You look pretty equanimous about that.
Oh, I do. Yeah. Pretty equanimous. Yes. Challenge your mind always. That's the only way to do it. Because
so even when you think you know shit, is that a best time to challenge yourself?
Damn right. Mm-hmm. Damn right. Yeah. I mean, think about the things that are causing the world's most problems. It's not because anyone has the right idea. It's because people have ideas and then they create tribes around their ideas. And the moment you create a tribe around your ideas, then there's another tribe who has the opposite idea, and you're still in a place of conflict.
There you go.
So if you want to be equanimous, you know, if you want to develop that state of equanimity, challenge your own mind and put yourself in environments. And I don't do this enough, frankly. I mean, I don't think any of us do this enough. Put yourself in environments where you are, where people are likely to judge you and think very differently from you, and learn how to relate to them, learn how to connect to them, learn to see life through their lens, actually extend your empathy beyond your own social circles.
You know, I've been pretty useless tonight. So other than Dr. Fred at welcometohumanity.net, I'm not going to be able to tell people where to find me because I don't think anyone really wants to know. But today you've been rocking it. So how can people find you?
ZenWarriorTraining.com.
That's really a great
place. Or all the places, the social media platforms, Sam Morris, Zen Warrior Training.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And TJ, what a superstar he's been today. Just so helpful. I mean, seriously, without him, well, we would have had somebody else.
Yeah, no, I know. I know. TJ has just wasted yet another hour of his life listening to the two of us banter.
Well, he claims to like it, but he probably likes the $13 an hour. He's making a lot more than he likes this. That's what I'm thinking. TJ Late and Sam Late, thank you so much. Love the conversation. Peace to everyone. We'll catch you next Tuesday.
Appreciate both of you and appreciate whoever's listening.
Yeah, if you don't want to sit in the back with headphones and a standing room only, come about an hour earlier to the auditorium and we'll get you a real seat. All right. Anyway, peace. Hello, everybody, and I just wanted to thank you for getting through another episode of True Voice with Dr. Fred. Wasn't that great? It is so much fun to interact with people and then interact with my listenership about really finding true voice and then bringing it forward. I really have never done anything more important than this, and I'm finally aligned with myself by helping others find their true voice. Let's find your alignment. What do you really want in your life?